Okay, so 1 John chapter 5. Tonight we'll be on verses 7 and 8, but why don't we start at verse 1. And if, Jeremy, you have a New King James there?
I do.
Would you mind reading for me? My contexts are kind of messed up a little.
5 verse 1 through 8.
Yes, please.
Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is true. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one.
Okay. Thank you, Jeremy. Okay, now we remember from last week talking about this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by blood. The significance and the importance of us when we are saved, believing and follow and being baptized. In fact, Acts 18:8 says, "Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." So they believed, they had this change, and then they were immediately, they followed in obedience and were baptized. In fact, if you read the book of Acts, which our family's in right now, it's really quite amazing what is going on here, because the past few chapters, 18, 17, 16, many times it says Paul went into the synagogues and reasoned with the leaders. So he's going on into this place and is reasoning, in other words, discussing the scriptures with these Jewish leaders. And it's amazing because some of these leaders are being converted and saved. Others are full of hatred and they want to kill him. You know, but it's neat to see that some of these here, Crispus, with this whole household, believed and were saved, and then right away they were baptized. And so it's comforting and to hear that. But furthermore, not only with water, but by blood. Hebrews 9:22, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Again, without Christ being the Lamb that with his blood covered all of our sins. And so we need to remember that his precious blood, without Christ's sacrificial death on the cross, you and I would be lost with no hope. But because of his sacrifice, because of the Father's love for you and I, and because of Jesus' love for you and I, his sacrifice for everything that you and I have done wrong, he took our place when we were deserving of the wrath of God. And I don't think anyone wants to receive the wrath of God. But Jesus took that wrath of God for us in our place. And so we need to remember that. Not only by water, but by water and by blood. So, now, for our text to tonight, we had Jeremy read from the New King James, which again reads, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one." Now, who has a New American Standard? Chris, would you mind reading 7 and 8, please?
"And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For these are the three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement."
Okay. Now you notice there's a vast difference here between the New King James and the New American Standard. Okay? I'll read a portion of commentary on this. But the New King James, and actually the King James also, does not have it right here. Okay? And not that these things in there are bad, because kind of looks like it's talking about the Trinity here. But they should not be here in this text. So again, New King James or King James. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Only a couple of the translations, early manuscripts, have this. Far above most all of them, even the earliest ones, the Latin Vulgate, all of them, they are not in here at all. And so the New American Standard has it right here when it says, verse 7, for there are three that bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three agree as one. It could have been that in the little columns in between, it was written in. You know, sometimes when we're under a teaching or just taking notes or whatever, we write something in for a mental note. Later on, when that was solved, it was actually put into the text. Okay? So, Albert Barnes writes this, and this is kind of lengthy, so I want you to pay attention because this is all valuable stuff. In fact, this is stuff that, that's why it's important that we're students of the Word, right? Because we don't want to just pick up any Bible and read. Now, I do want to say that the King James, New King James, are solid, very good Bibles. Okay? But just like any translation, especially for English, there's going to be some issues. Not one of them is perfect. So, I mean, I think for the most part, we're safe with King James, New King James, New American Standard. Maybe the ESV. You want to watch out for paraphrase translations like the NIV, which I think is good for just simple reading, you know, but just be careful, okay, with your. But again, my point is, be students of the Word of God. And you do that by getting resources, something on your computer, other books to go along with it, some commentators from the early forefathers, you know, to go along so you can do deep study to find out what should and should not be there, and what is being said in the original language. Again, so Albert Barnes. The argument against the passage from the external proof is confirmed by internal evidence, which makes it morally certain that it cannot be genuine, what was added. The connection does not demand it. It does not contribute to advance what the apostle is saying, but breaks the bread of his argument entirely. He is speaking of certain things which bear witness to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, is the Christ, is the Son of God. That He did come in flesh. Okay, certain things were well known to those to whom He was writing. The Spirit and the water and the blood. He does it. How does it contribute to strengthen the force of this to say that in heaven there are three that bear witness? Three not before referred to, and having no connection with a matter under consideration. The language is not such as John would typically use. He does indeed elsewhere use the term logos or word, but it is never in this form, the Father and the Word. That is, the terms Father and the Word are never used by him or by any other of the other sacred writers as correlative. The word Son is the term which is correlative to Father in every other place as used by John, as well as by other sacred writers and the Gospel of John. Besides, the correlative of the term Logos, a word with John, is not Father but God. Okay, now, it's kind of confusing stuff, but try and follow along. Okay, without this passage, the sense of the argument is clear and appropriate. There are three, says John, which bear witness that Jesus is the Messiah. These two are referred to in verse 6. An immediate connection with this is the argument of verse 8. It is affirmed that their testimony goes to one point and is harmonious. To say that there are other witnesses elsewhere, to say that they are one, contributes nothing to illustrate the nature of the testimony of these three, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And the eternal sense of the passage, therefore, furnishes as little evidence of its genuineness as the external proof. It is easy to imagine how the passage found a place in the New Testament. It was at first written, perhaps, in the margin of some Latin manuscript, as expressing the belief of the writer of what is true in heaven, as well as on earth, and with no more intention to deceive than we have when we make a marginal note in a book. Some transcriber copied it into the body of the text, perhaps with a sincere belief that it was a genuine passage, omitted by accident. And then it became too important a passage in the argument for the Trinity, ever to be displaced but by the most clear critical evidence. It was rendered into the Greek and inserted into one Greek manuscript of the 16th century. While it was wanting, meaning not there, in all earlier manuscripts. Okay? So, man, that's a mouthful. Okay? And so again, in all the earliest manuscripts, that extra section there is not there. And that's okay. That's the purpose of being a student of God. We want to dig deep and find these things out. Now, taking this stuff out does not mean that we have no evidence of the Trinity. We can find that other places in the Scripture. In fact, this almost made it too easy, if you will, you know, to defend the Trinity. Okay, but again, we can still defend the Trinity in other passages. Okay, so with that all said, we're going to go with what we've talked about with the New American Standard Version here tonight. And so from there, okay? So again, let me read. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three agree as one. Okay? So bear witness here means in the Greek to be a witness, to be able or ready to testify. To bear witness, to testify to the truth of what one has seen, heard, or knows. Okay? Now the law, specifically in the Old Testament, there had to be two or three witnesses to establish a truth. And so much so that if a person was guilty of something, he could not be executed unless there was at least two witnesses. Okay? But we know this to be also true in the New Testament. And we have the example of Matthew 18. When we find a brother in the Christ, brother in the Lord who's in sin. You know, what are the steps? You go to him alone. If he does not hear you, take one or two witnesses. That by the mouth of two or three, every word is established. Okay? So he's using some Old Testament text here, but also some New Testament stuff. Okay? But so bear witness, okay, two or three. And they are following the principles here of Deuteronomy 9:5 and 17:6. So the Spirit. Now remember from last week how we talked about the testimony of the Spirit and how He is truth and that there is no lie, there is no deception in Him. So when the Spirit testifies, bears witness, it is truth. If you were a betting man, you could throw the whole farm on it. But we're not betting men, you know, then we wouldn't bet the whole farm, okay? But my point is, it is solid. It is something that you can sink your teeth into, you stand on. The Spirit's testimony is without a doubt truth. Okay? And what again is He testifying? That He who came by water and by blood, Jesus, He is the Messiah. He is the one who the prophets foretold about that would come. He is the one who John the Baptist taught about, that there is one coming greater than I. Repent of your sins, for there is one coming. That this Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And the Spirit bears witness. He testifies. And His testimony is true, solid. Amen? He is God incarnate. the water and blood, and it is holy and completely true. And furthermore, without the Spirit, I want us to think about this. Without the Spirit, the water and blood would not be significant to us. Why? Why would the water and blood not be significant to us? Why would Christ's death mean nothing to us? Well, because how are we born? We are born sinners. And are we seeking for God as sinners? The Bible says no. There is none who are righteous. There is none who seeks after God. Nobody. Okay, so how do people get saved? Well, the Bible teaches that God has chosen a people to be saved. And He draws a people to Himself. And how does He do that? By the Spirit. And so the Spirit does its work in our lives. It starts convicting us of our sin. Whereas before we were enslaved to our sin. We could not free ourselves from our sin. That's all we did. Sin, sin, sin. We were slaves to it. But we were freed by the blood of Christ. And the Spirit starts convicting us of our sin. And all of a sudden we start grieving over our sin. Whereas before, we were not grieved over our sin. We were enslaved to it. And now the Spirit grieves us, convicts us over our sin, opens our eyes and shows us that you are sinners. That Christ came and died to free us and has adopted us into His family. We are in His kingdom now. Before, we're in the kingdom of darkness with Satan. He has made us alive. He has freed us. The Spirit has convicted us. And the Spirit now leads us. And so without the Spirit doing its work in our lives, the water and the blood are not significant to us. Because we would still be enslaved to our sin. You guys understand this? So we need to be grateful for the Spirit's work in our lives. That He does convict us when we sin. That He shows us and keeps us of what the Lord has done for us. And by Him, we can walk straight. He is our helper. Right? He dwells in us. So without the Spirit's testimony in our own lives, the water and the blood are insignificant. And so praise be to God for His testimony of Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, His shedding of the blood for you and for me. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit bears witness, again, bears witness. Let me read that definition again. It means to be a witness, to be able or ready to testify to the truth of what one has seen, heard, or knows. And I tell you that the Spirit knows that Jesus is the Christ. He is not confused about that. Unlike the false teachers of this time, again, who were teaching that the flesh is evil, so Jesus couldn't come as a man. Or if He did, the Spirit left right before His death, so He did not suffer on the cross. But the Spirit testifies, bears witness. And John reminds us at the beginning, we have seen, we've heard, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And so we need to know Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is God incarnate. He came to this earth as a man, fully God, fully man. And the Spirit bears witness to this. He testifies to this. And the Spirit does its work in our lives so that we can believe in this. Right? How do we overcome the world? Through our faith. Where do we get the faith from? It is a gift from God, as Ephesians tells us. Spurgeon says, instead of all other heavenly signs, the church has for her standing miracles, the energetic work of the Holy Spirit, the purifying influence of the gospel, and the peace-giving energy of the atonement. If there be no power of the Holy Spirit, no sanctification, and no pardon of sin, our religion is a delusion. But if these be facts, and they are, the Spirit bears witness. They certainly are. Our faith has solid grounds. And that's the point here. Okay? That our faith in Christ, our faith in God, has solid ground. He is the one true God. And in Him you can stand. It is a sure thing. Do we understand this? Do we believe this? Do you know that what you believe in? If not, let's look to the Word more and more and be that student so that you can have understanding. If you lack understanding and wisdom, what are we told to do? Cry out for it. Ask for it. If we're having trouble being obedient to God, to His Word, cry out to God. That He would help you be obedient to His Word. If you have a lack of a desire to read the Bible, get on your knees and cry out to Him, God, give me a hunger and desire to read Your Bible, to read Your truth. It is life. And we wonder why we struggle so much. Well, it's because we don't pick up our Bibles. No wonder we struggle. It's our spiritual food. We need it. And we need to know what we believe. And we need to know, without a doubt, that this is truth, and it is. The Spirit bears witness. This is truth. Jesus did come. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the God-man came to this earth truly as a man in flesh like you and I have, and yet lived a sinless life and did many miraculous things, raised people from the dead, healed the blind and the sick and the deaf, sent demons into pigs and they jumped off a cliff, into the ocean actually. I mean, do you believe this? And do you believe that He went to the cross to fulfill the Father's will? And that being for Christ, for Jesus, His whole purpose to come to shed His blood for us. And to this the Spirit testifies, bears witness, this family is true. And this is how we have life. And this is what we need to wrap our arms around and to cling to with all of our strength. For in it is life. We cannot let go of these truths. It is how we will spend eternity in heaven with our Father and with our family. So who do you believe? What do you believe? And remember this, that the Spirit's testimony is truth and none other. Amen? Let's pray. Our gracious Father, Lord, if there is anyone in here, if any of us are having troubles with doubting these things, finding ourselves asking, God, are you real? Did Jesus really, really come as a man? Did he really walk into the lake? And was he baptized? And did the Spirit really descend like a dove? And the heavens really open up and God speak that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased? And did he really live a sinless life? And God, did he really suffer and die for me? If we doubt this, Lord, help us. Help us in our unbelief. Help us in our doubting that we would fully believe in you and fully trust in your word and that you did send your only begotten Son to suffer and die for a scumbag like me, that I now can have life and have my sins washed away and be white as snow. And that even when I slip up, it is forgiven. And that I now need to press on and to cling to these truths and never let them go, that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And in Him I live and move and have my being. And in Him I imitate and follow and long to be like. It is Him that I believe in, that my faith is placed in. Lord, help us in our unbelief. Help us to pick up our Bibles daily. Forgive us for not doing that, Lord. Shame on us for not picking up the words of life that can help us in our weaknesses. Shame on us being children of God who don't pick up our Bibles. Lord, help us. We cry out to you, Father, that you would give us this desire, this hunger to be in your word, to thirst for it. That we can't wait to get to that time or place in the day when we can shut everything away and dig into your precious word, that we might know you more and understand you more and trust you more. And to truly believe in Jesus' precious work. Because it's by His work that we can now pray to you, O God. It's by the authority of His name that we do pray. Amen.